Hi, this is 5x5 with Dave O'Meara on April 25th, 2005. I've been watching for the last day or so in bits and pieces the original Solaris by Tarkovsky in bits and pieces, half hour here, half hour there. And I must say that I'm being gradually blown away within the context of watching it. I guess in the same way that you'd read a novel. I'm at about the 2 hour and 40 minute mark, I think, the last time I looked at the time display of the DVD player. And there doesn't seem to be any indication complaining about the movies they watch, and that's what I'm going to be doing in the main part of today's discussion. Really, I'm complaining about movies I watch because of my own concerns about my own writing. So one reads many postings on the internet sites that apparently come from her, and that screenwriter is about me, and this is what is on my mind. So, or at any rate, it's impossible to mention the date without thinking about her, and I do think about her. So, to continue in my non-theistic vein here, I am going to read
Hero and his father, from who are living together in a very nice, beautiful dacha, in a place that it's so beautiful, but it also seems sort of haunted because there's all these photographs of these beautiful women around who are apparently dead or gone in some way, and these this father and son, who are both scientists, seem to live there, and a young officer who years before had been part of the first incident on Solaris when between this strange phenomenon began to occur for the first time, comes to visit them, and
what I meditate upon wakes up startled with one closing dream. I am a widowed house, cloistered in upon itself, darkened by dreaming, furtive spectres.
Is not in fact true, but
I am always in the room of some value.
Now, one of the scene that I'm
a very important distinction I want to make here is to distinguish fictions, again, within any of these genres that I've been talking about, from other narrative arts that aspire only to entertain. And by entertainment, I mean mystical,
and at the same time turns out to have a rational explanation. And they also want to the Hollywood suspense game and keep you entertained with the possibility that motion
bodies tend to move in circles, the noblest of all forms of motion. Okay, well, I'll continue that. If it be said that the velocity of a body cannot change, if there is no reason for it to change, may we not, just as legitimately, maintain
over your life
that the position of a body cannot change,
after
or
a
that the curvature of
this
path,
the long silence of reflection in this scene, which does absolutely nothing to advance the plot, is actually quite powerful and poetic. And what's also very interesting about one of the scenes that I'm seeing now is this problem that Tarkovsky explores of sort of the phenomenology of love and of the problem of being in love with a simulacrum. If it feels
feeling
like the same love that you used to have, is it the same love?
On a day when I haven't slept as much, reminds me of those. I guess it's some sort of pop psychology version that the way you tell the difference between a true introvert and a true extrovert is how they behave when they haven't had enough sleep. And the true introvert gets very withdrawn.
The genres within enough sleep,
the various storytelling media,
dabbles on.
Is that they are make believe
really
that there is this, no so, fact
almost, you know,
behind this story. This is a story
sort of
that has been generated to satisfy the human desire for a good story.
Discovers his wife in his cabin.
So what does that mean?
He blasts her off into space and tries to kill her. But of course she comes right back. And she's such a... The simulacrum, the apparition, whatever she is so vulnerable and so sweet and has many... probably the same sort of mental illnesses that his original wife had. So it's a really, really great piece, and it compares in some ways to the movie Birth, which I saw yesterday as well, but it does it much, much better. It explores this theme.